Thank you, Brady. It is moving for us to think about that which is at once a horrifying kind of thing and that which is a wondrous kind of thing, and that is the death of Jesus. When I was up here a few moments ago, we read a text in John chapter 15 and verse 15 in which Jesus was talking about love, the greatest love. And there he described the greatest love as that which involves laying down one's life for his friends. In many ways, these words that Jesus spoke were prophetic, because that is exactly what Jesus would do for us. We are counted his friends if we are obedient to him. He treated us as friends in laying down his life for us. Jesus' death was the ultimate demonstration of love. I mentioned a moment ago that in Jesus we learn what love is. Well, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, the Apostle John is talking about love and how we show love. And I call to your attention how he references Jesus' willingness to lay down his life. In 1 John 3, beginning in verse 14, he says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In Jesus' death, he demonstrated more clearly than we could ever imagine that he loved not in word and tongue, but he loved in deed and in truth. In some of the songs that we sang, and in some of the points that Brady made in his comments, it was mentioned and observed that the very purpose of Jesus coming to earth was, in fact, the cross and pointing to his death. In John chapter 12, verses 25 through 28, it says, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." And notice what he says. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Jesus acknowledges that that hour of his death upon the cross, and we understand it was more than an hour in a literal sense, but that period, that time, that event was the hour that he describes as the very purpose of his coming. Jesus, in his death, we mentioned earlier, set an example for us through his life. But in his death, he set the ultimate example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 24 appeal to that. And first, talking about servants and their relationship to their master. And it says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Now notice, he's teaching servants how they should behave, how they should act. But then he shifts it to Christ and what Christ did. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." None of us could ever have the excuse to say, "Well, you don't know what I've gone through, or you don't know how bad I've been treated." Jesus Christ set an example for us of horrible mistreatment and yet honorable response and honorable behavior. Peter tells us in the text that we just read that he bore our sins. Now that absolutely does not mean that Jesus ever became sinful. He was never sinful in any sense in that manner. Rather, as a sacrifice, as the Lamb of God, as Brady mentioned a few moments ago, he paid that sin debt that we all had incurred. And the last point I'd like to leave you with is that it was his death that addressed the biggest problem that any of us have upon this earth, a problem none of us are capable within ourselves of overcoming, and that is the problem of sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, the Apostle Paul says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry."